Welcome to The Practical Intuitive. We're each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. It's September 16th, 2019, and today we're talking about energy, the stuck dead, and us. It's a continuation of my show on September 2nd, where I talked about what energy is, how it works, what thought forms are, and how they affect us. So today we're going to talk about what the stuck dead are, who they are, what's affecting them, the energy block on the planet, and most of all, the concept, which is the reality that energy is sentient, and therefore, how do we think about it and work with it? So, we're going to talk about all of these things, how I discovered what I learned and am teaching, what is in my upcoming book, The Afterlife is a Party, and an action plan for how we can all step into our personal power and be our best selves in our relationship with energy. So, again, my name is Robin Fritz. I'm an intuitive and spiritual consultant and a certified past life regression specialist based in Seattle, Washington. I offer personal and business intuition, mediumship, animal communication, space clearing, past life, between life regression, spiritual journeys, soul awakenings, a process I call soul progression clearing, which helps clear out stuck energy and fill you up with healthy energy. And I work with Fallon, the citrine Lemurian quartz. Fallon is an ancient power crystal, and he is with me in all my work and in all of my events, including this show. So we are going to open with a connection to Fallon. You will experience him however your intuition works. So you may see pictures, hear him chat with you, feel his energy, or simply know that you're connected to him in this hour. So if you take your attention to the top of your head, imagine you're bringing mind, body, and spirit together, you know, tuning yourself up, so to speak, and getting ready for this really interesting show on how energy works on the planet, how we can work with it. So bringing your attention to the top of your head, breathe down your body, down your face, your shoulders, your chest, hips, knees, and feet. Just imagine the cares of the day being swept away and helping you get grounded and balanced in this space so that you can put your own intuitive and healing abilities to work with the information I'm going to give you today. And now moving up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head. So again, today we're talking about energy, the stuck dead in us. Okay, so here's the thing. There's an energy block on the planet. If you can see energy or feel it, you can understand immediately what I'm talking about. What kind of disturbs me is that there are a lot of people that don't seem to know that it exists, and I'll tell you how I discovered it. It comes mostly from the stuck dead, those who have died and who have not moved to the afterlife. So what happens when they finally do move to the afterlife? They begin to heal, their loved ones begin to heal, and the planet begins to heal with them, because energy block on the planet comes mostly from the stuck dead. So I'm going to tell you how I discovered this, and I want to give you a heads up front. The work I do is different than a lot of other people out there. I have learned some things from human teachers, other things from non-human teachers, and a lot by experimentation. So in that sense, I'm a natural-born scientist. I meet other beings, I have experiences, I explore them, and there are a few people in the world I trust completely, and I can go to them and say, hey, why don't you check this thing out? I don't tell them what it is that I've discovered, what it is I've learned, because that's not a proper experiment, right? So I can say that everything I'm telling you in all of my shows, but particularly today, if I've discovered it, I've also verified it with people I know and trust. So I'm not making it up. I am telling you what I've learned. So let's talk about what that means. So on my show on September 2nd, I talked about energy and how our culture creates thought forms. So just as the Empire State Building in Yellowstone National Park or Old Faithful Geyser in Yellowstone National Park are real physical things, so is the thought form behind them. It means anything that we give our attention to, and not just humans, but any being gives its attention to, can become a thought form. So what are thought forms? Well, Reiki, an energy healing system, has become so prevalent that it is in itself a thought form. But so are words and systems like Christianity, heaven, hell, limbo, purgatory, and democracy and oligarchy and bad things that we can think of. So all of these things carry energy, and we are made of energy. Everything is made of energy. And I think that's where people started making their initial mistakes when saying we are all one, because we are not. I am not Mount St. Helens. I am me, and we are all discrete beings, but we do have energy. We are created with energy, and it is part of who we are. So what's a wonderful thing that has come out in the last 30, 40 years is that a lot of people are starting to work with energy again. And by again, I mean, especially as a past life regression specialist, I've learned that 300-400 years ago, we just lost our connection to our intuition and our healing abilities. We had the Cartesian Revolution. We had human thought taking over the planet in terms of scientific research. And we just cut ourselves off from not just our ancestry, but from our natural abilities. So now people are saying, oh, I have this gift of intuition, or I have this gift of healing. Well, it's not a gift. It's part of who you are. It's a sense as real as any of the other senses that you have, but people aren't familiar with how it works. And my hope is 100 years after I die, people are going to look back on us and think, wow, my goodness, they had to actually teach people how to use these natural skills. And the answer is yes, because we've forgotten. So what does that have to do with the dead? So my dad died on June 30th, 1994. And he came back in the early 2000s to apologize to me for not being the father he thought as he reviewed his life in the afterlife, he thought I needed and deserved, which was a man who treated a woman as an equal. And he said if he ever got the chance to do it again, and looking over our past lives many times as father and daughter, we could see where he carried that patriarchal stigma throughout his many lifetimes. And he said, well, if he ever got a chance to be my father again, he would change how he reacted. Well, that chance came earlier than expected when I started doing my intuitive work, and he showed up and asked me to be a medium, which was not anything I was interested in. And then the dead started showing up at my house. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? Well, my dad wanted me to be a medium because he said, look, I can go find people. So you don't have to go looking for them. So you and the people you work with, you can help them get closure by actually having real conversations with their dead. Now, that interested me. First, clearly I like to talk a lot. And secondly, helping people actually connect with their dead and have real conversations as opposed to the guessing games or me telling you, well, they like this and that and the other thing, which you already know, right? That made sense to me. And so I started working with my dad and working with clients and really working differently as a medium than other mediums out there, which is great, right? We all need to find the way that we work best in the world. And then my dad showed up one day and we were chatting and he said, there are so many you wouldn't believe it. And I'm like, so many what? And he said, spirits that leave. I said, well, everybody dies, Dad, right? And he said, it's tremendous. Well, at the time, I thought he was just talking about people that died. But over time, I started piecing it together. And what my dad was talking about was something that he noticed immediately after he died. Now, in my upcoming book, The Afterlife is a Party, I'm going to tell you how the afterlife works from how I see it. Without a filter of religion, without a filter of culture, with just working with my dad and the dead and what I see out there and how I experiment and learn things as an intuitive and a healer. So the dead started showing up at my house and it was weird. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's this all about? Well, my dad started talking to me about the dead who weren't in the afterlife. And I'm like, what again? And I started realizing that what he wanted was for me to work with them. So my dad is in the afterlife. He runs what I call a way station for dead things on the other side. And the people who get to the afterlife basically recuperate at the way station. And I call it that because that's how I see it. And because I have a weird sense of humor, and because my dad and the other way station managers think that's just fine, does describe what they do. What a lot of us don't realize is there's an in-between place that everybody goes to after we die. And I'll talk about that more in upcoming shows. But it's nothing to be afraid of. It's just what happens when we die. We wake up dead. But it doesn't look like what religion tells us to look like. So it scares us, and we sometimes get stuck there and don't move on to the afterlife. But the other part is that place is a good place too, because you slough off the denser energies that are connected to your body before you go to the afterlife, where it's completely etheric. So there is that. But what my dad started pointing out to me, that there were a lot of people who were stuck and hadn't moved to the afterlife. So I started working with them, you know, and I have a friend that I work with, and she was game for it. So we started working with it, and I created this little system, and we moved 10 or 20 of the dead at once. And then I'm like looking at this and thinking, oh my God, they're like gazillions of the stuck dead. What? This is crazy. Like, doesn't anybody know this? Turns out a few people know this, not a lot. And I've met a few of them, and some of them are healers, shamanic-type healers, but not the rigid, I have to do everything the indigenous shamanic people did kind of healers. But real thinking people who are looking at what's going on in the world right now and trying to figure out how to help. And as it turns out, help was on the way. I just didn't know I was going to be part of it. So there was a point at which my friend and I, working with my dad, and there's a whole system there, helping the stuck dead move, where I realized there were so many that I just wanted to move like a million at once. Not move, but assist them to move themselves, right? Because free will is everything. And as I contemplated that with my dad and all of his friends and my friend and all of the help that's there available to us, I suddenly saw a way that I could create a system to do this. And I was like, time stopped. And I was like, oh my gosh, Not that I'm important or anything, because we're all equally important, but because I saw this system, how it came together, and it was like, oh, okay. So we tried it, and our spiritual team said, well, no, Robin, you can't move a million at once. You need to adjust to how the energy flows. So we moved like 10 or 20,000. And what we do is we call them forward in a specific way, ask them if they're ready to go to the afterlife, and if they are, help them get there. Very, very simple. And what you need to know to understand me is that everything has to be simple, because I want everything to happen in like 2 minutes and don't want to waste my time. And I want everything to move smoothly. Plus, when you're working with something like 20,000 stuck dead, you're working with a tremendous amount of energy, as I discovered over time. And that's why our spiritual teams were saying, no, you have to slow down and just move a smaller amount until you can get used to how the energy works. Because our human bodies, like anybody, our bodies are fragile, and moving and working with huge amounts of energy can be debilitating. So we started moving the dead to the afterlife with their consent, and everything was peachy, or so I thought. Then things started happening, things that I was not expecting, and that I'll tell you about after the break, that made me understand exactly what was involved with energy and stuck dead. And remember, the whole focus here is that energy is sentient. Which makes sense, right? Because we are, all of life is sentient. Everything out there is sentient. And the basic building block is sentient. So, of course, energy is sentient, which means we need to start thinking about working with it as a partner instead of manipulating it like other energy systems do. So after the break, I'll give you some stories, and then we'll launch into an action plan on how you can work with energy. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth.
A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. Today, my name is Robin Fritz, and today we're talking about energy, the stuck dead, and us. So, hold that thought. Energy is sentient, okay? Energy is aware and can communicate with us. So, My understanding that there were dead who hadn't made it to the afterlife was basically an intellectual understanding. I mean, I could see them. They would show up. They would ask for help. They would show up to my friend. And that all made sense, but I didn't really completely, I don't want to say understand, but I didn't completely get how serious the situation was until a couple of things happened. And one was that I was watching, it was early morning, summer morning, some years ago, and I had the TV on, making breakfast for me and my animal family, and summertime, so I was listening to the Weather Channel for coverage of any upcoming hurricanes, because one of the things I do is work with hurricanes. And they had a commercial for a series that was weather-related disasters in history. And, you know, mornings are not my best time, right? I'm just kind of hearing this in the background, making breakfast. And they the first show was going to be on the crash of the Hindenburg. The Hindenburg blimp, which apparently was struck by lightning as it tried to land in New Jersey back in 1937, crashed and burned and a lot of people died. And at the moment they said that, all of a sudden my house filled up with all these dead people and they were screaming. And I'm like, holy crap, I'm not even awake yet. What is this? They were yelling and they were angry and they were shouting at each other. And I'm just like, oh, I just flung my arms out and said, okay, everybody quiet. Everybody stop. You know, not realizing that they would actually stop. They stopped yelling at each other and they looked at me and I'm looking at them like, who are you? And very quickly obvious, they were the dead from the Hindenburg crash. Now I'm like gaping at them. And then I pick up the phone and call my partner and I go, hello, but the dead from the crash of the Hindenburg are in my living room. You want to help me talk with them? So the long and short of it is, they were caught in the moment. Now, yes, I'm going to answer your question up front, which is people have said to me, how many times do you think people have helped the dead from the Hindenburg cross to the afterlife? And I say once that morning. And what other people may experience may be a time loop or something else. But this was real. I called my dad in. He called his fellow way station managers. We're looking at these people and my friend is on the phone and I'm staring at these people in the room. And they thought they were in the middle of this tragedy. They thought it was all happening right around them. And I said, no, wait. This is the year 2013. Hindenburg crashed in 1937. Okay, decades have passed. And they were shocked and scared because they were caught in that time, and time for them had not moved forward. So they were like horrified and scared. And I said, okay, you know, we can talk with you. We can help you. And my dad came in and we talked with them. They were angry. They were saying this guy, they were pointing to him and he was cowering, that he had sabotaged it. And I said, no, look, they're telling us that this crash was an accident. It was a thunderstorm. It was struck by lightning. It was an accident. Nobody's at blame. And it's over. So let's help you. Let us help you move to the afterlife. And we did. But I'll tell you, that episode didn't just shock and horrify me. It was the first time I had seen the dead from a mass tragedy. And so it sparked my interest in mass crossings. So I became even more interested in helping large numbers of the stuck dead move to the afterlife. And realizing during that time that this was one of the things my dad wanted me to do, was to help these people in that particular way. So that's the story of the Hindenburg. They all successfully moved to the afterlife that day. And then I had some clients in Seattle who had young children who were highly intuitive, seven-year-old twins who, as it turned out, were seeing and hearing the dead. Okay, so they're terrified, as even an adult would be, and they didn't understand what was happening. And so when I was working with them and their family, I became aware that we do have young people who are highly intuitive, that for some reason it didn't shut down or close down. And the people on the other side looking for help don't necessarily recognize it. So what was happening was the stuck dead who wanted help moving to the afterlife, and a lot of them do, and they come looking for help, they're coming to these little kids. And I am like, I don't think so. I don't think so. And I'm pondering, like, what to do about this situation. Then a couple other things happened. A family member died, and he appeared to one of the children with a gaping head wound and ill and basically looking like he did some months before he passed away. And when I called him to talk with him, I could see that as well. And here's a clue that, as I learned over time, this is a clue as to those who are stuck and can't move to the afterlife. When you die and wake up dead, you know, and you don't know where you are or whatever, and you get caught up in that, a lot of the stuck dead tell me they think that's all there is. I have client sessions in my upcoming book about that very thing, about how we're talking about one thing and the dead show up and they're stuck, and I can tell because they carry the appearance of what they look like before they died. In other words, they haven't healed, which is what you would be doing if you were in the afterlife and working through what you did in your life and thinking about what you're going to do next. So this man was there bleeding and looking like that and scared the kid, which of course scare anybody. And I said, hello, they can see you. And he goes, I know, they're very, very tuned in, and I didn't realize that when I was alive, and I want to help them. I said, well, here's the thing, they can see you, and you haven't healed, so you haven't actually moved to the afterlife. And he's like, well, but if I do that, then I won't be able to help them. So here's the thing, for your dead and everyone else's dead, when someone dies, tell them they're dead. Tell them it's okay to go to the afterlife. Tell them where they are isn't the afterlife, and they can move on when they're ready, rested up and ready to go to the afterlife, which means they've sloughed off those denser energies connected to their bodies. So this gentleman, and the truth of it is, when they actually move to the afterlife, it's easier for us to connect with them then. It's easier for them to connect with us. Plus, they start healing and they start resolving the issues that were there with them during their lifetime, whether they died in an accident or not. They resolve their confusion, any sort of physical ills or whatever. But they have to move to the afterlife first. And the way to do that is to say, hey, I love you. You're dead now. I'm going to miss you. We can connect better once you move to the afterlife. And that's a great thing, right? So he went to the afterlife with my dad, and, you know, I checked in on him, and he immediately started to heal, and everything got better in the family. Excuse me, or I thought it did, because the next thing that happened made me committed to working with the stuck dead, and that's that these children continued to see the stuck dead. And not just the stuck dead from our planet. The multiverse is real. There are multiple Earth dimensions. There are multiple universe dimensions, whatever. I actually went into an alternate Earth dimension. It's not something I would recommend. Not something I did on purpose. Believe me, I kind of klutz my way through life. I was a shocker. Was when I realized that, yeah, that's true. There really are multiple Earth dimensions. But this kid in particular, was talking to soldiers who had died in an alternate Earth in a nuclear war. Yeah, exactly. And when I heard this, I'm like, what the hell? And these kids were scared. Of course they were scared. So finally, I got my friend and I got my dad and I called the soldiers to me. And I said, hey, oh, you're not even from our Earth. What the hell are you doing? And they're looking at me like, we need help. And somebody told us that they could help us. And I said, hello, take a good look. They're kids. They're 7 years old. You shouldn't be asking a seven-year-old kid to help you for anything, let alone getting from one dimension to another. So what's the deal? They didn't know how to get to the afterlife. They were confused. They were stuck. Again, alternate Earth dimension. So, you know, I can't speak for the culture, traditions, or anything in there except that their Earth had been destroyed in a nuclear war. And boy, do I not want to see that happen here. So I said to him, I said, okay, we'll help you. And we did. We helped them move to the afterlife. So here's the thing. I can't, in good conscience, allow something to continue that is wrong. And to me, the dead coming to seven-year-old kids for help to get to the afterlife meant something is really wrong in how we go to the afterlife. And so that's when I started researching, using my dad's knowledge, my knowledge, our experiments, my friend, you know, double-checking, you know, experimenting, trying to figure out what was going on. And that's when I realized my dad was really talking about the stuck dead, and there were gazillions of them in our own dimension alone, on our own planet, going back eons. Okay, so, you know, holy criminy Moses. I'm looking at these and I'm thinking, oh my goodness gracious. And that's when I really started realizing. I mean, I had personal experience now. I couldn't just look at it and say, well, that's, you know, an interesting scientific experiment. I was looking at real people who had died, who were suffering. And it's not an intellectual exercise. It's not like, oh, that's interesting. These are real people. These are real beings. These are souls in tremendous pain. There are a lot of people on the planet who are in pain, but there is nothing to compare to the pain of the stuck dead. It is staggering. And to even begin to work with them, you have to have really good energy boundaries. You just have to put a shield up and protect yourself and create a strong protection mode and in a very skilled way of dealing with it. And I have created that system. It works. And I teach it to a few people after I'm convinced that they are well grounded themselves. Beyond that, I'm not talking about the specifics because I don't want people to experiment and get hurt, because it is very easy to get hurt doing any kind of intuitive and energy work, but particularly difficult in this situation. So here's the thing. My friends and I, my dad and his friends, we got together and we'd pick time period and we'd invite the dead to move to the afterlife. And we gradually started moving hundreds of thousands, not moving, helping hundreds of thousands of the stuck dead move to the afterlife at once. And yes, one time I goofed up and made a big mistake and I crashed the afterlife. And my dad wouldn't talk to me for a couple months because he and his friends were overwhelmed with people who shouldn't have been in the afterlife because they hadn't sloughed off those denser energies yet. So there are many tricks to the trade, so to speak. But what I noticed after I started moving, helping these people move to the afterlife, was that there was residual energy left over when they moved. It was like they left and a block of energy that was connected to them was left behind, basically left on the planet, if you will. And I started looking at that and seeing that the block of energy from the stuck dead going back eons has created like a vise around our planet, like a black grip of stuck energy and it's choking us. It's choking the planet. It's keeping us and all of life from being its best. And imagine what would happen if that were gone, if that energy wasn't there anymore holding back. I mean, it's energy that's, there's a stuck energy on the planet that needs to be removed, and that can, that has become part of the work that we do when we help the stuck dead move to the afterlife and kind of helping, you know, being of assistance to the planet and of energy. But then there's this residual energy that's left over when they move. And I was looking at it one day, and because I talked to many different things on this planet and on others, I said, oh, hello, you know, my name's Robin. Would you like to, like, have a conversation? And it was like, yeah, sure. And it said to me, I could be used for something. And I'm like, okay. Like what? You know, it is massive energy that's left behind when a couple hundred thousand of the dead move to the afterlife is just sitting there. I said, well, I could go where I'm most needed. And I go like, wow, where would that be? Okay, so one thing to understand about me is that I think we have enough of human arrogance in the world. So I'm not going to make a decision based on my human nature. And I'm too bossy anyway by nature. So I don't want to tell other things what to do. I would like to facilitate and support and stand by them and try to keep other people from messing up other things so that everything has free will, right? But here's a piece of energy that says I could be used for something. And I'm like, what? And it goes, well, somewhere on the planet, is there something that could use energy? Well, at the time, fires were burning near Yosemite National Park, the ancient sequoias there. And I went, oh, well, here's one thing. So I said, hey, ancient sequoias, would you like some help with the fires? And they go like, yeah, of course. So I said, okay. So I introduced the energy and the sequoias, and I said, hey, you guys both like this working together thing, idea, figure you can do that? And they go, yep. I said, okay, fine. Have at it. Good luck. And what comes next after that and action plan is what we're going to talk about after the break. Hang on.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Well, Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about energy that's stuck dead in us. So, I paired up energy and the ancient sequoias in Yosemite by introducing them to each other. And I believe I've kind of touched on this story before in other episodes. But the thing of it is, I'm always curious. So the next day I went and said, "Hey, ancient sequoias, it's Robin. How are you today?" And they're like, "Yeah, we're good." And I'm like, "So what did you do with the energy yesterday?" And they looked at me and they said, they brought in cold air to moderate the fires. And I could see that from the news. And I was shocked because it was in those moments that I realized that magic is real and very simple. It's energy in motion. And what we're using to, when we work with energy healing systems that we've created, from Reiki to natural force to all of these different forms of energy, we're tapping into energy, we're using it, but we're using it in different ways. So here's the thing. I didn't tell the energy what to do or the sequoias. I introduced them because the energy said it could be used for something. And they agreed to work together, and that's it. I didn't do anything else except check in the next day because I'm nosy and curious. But what I don't know why they couldn't have worked that out for themselves. And maybe they could, because the world has been going on for a very long period of time, and it doesn't need us humans to tell it what to do. But we are part of this planet, and we are here, and we are energy, and we can work with energy. So I think it's time for us to look at it in a different way. And that's why I'm saying I've got an action plan for you to think about and maybe use in your movement to continue to grow your soul. I mean, that's why we've all chosen the bodies that we're in now, whether you're an animal body or a tree body or a human body or a hurricane or whatever it is. Our souls chose that body for that experience because we felt that that was what the body we needed to do our work in. Humans are arrogant because we think we're the best, but there are a lot of famous humans in the past, especially strong energy and workers, intuitives, who did not come back this time around in human bodies. I know them and I work with them, and I'm like, okay, very interesting. But when we talk about magic and we think, well, what is magic? Magic is energy in the ancient sequoias bringing in cold air to moderate the fires, to protect themselves, right? Fascinating, right? And magic is just what we haven't figured out yet by any other means, right? So someday scientists are going to come along and say, wow, we figured out what magic is. But, you know, don't hold your breath on that because they're still debating what gravity is, right? So they said Newton discovered gravity and then Einstein rediscovered gravity. And now somebody's rediscovering Einstein's gravity. So, hey, it can go on forever, and especially when you use math. I mean, when you get to the point where you divide by zero, I mean, forget it. So energy is out there. And it is available for you to use. Plus, there's this huge energy block on the planet. Well, it's getting smaller because some of us are helping large numbers of the stuck dead move to the afterlife. Not pushing them over or forcing them to it or doing any of those things that other people think they're doing. And it's not rescue mediumship. It's literally conversing with them and creating this process that if they're ready to go, they can go. But what about us in our daily lives? So here's your action plan. Energy is sentient, right? So if you're studying an energy healing system, whether it's Reiki or something else, don't make it so complicated. You know, energy healing is as simple as putting hands on yourself and inviting energy to work with you. That's it. Now, we create systems And we call them by different names, partly to create incomes for ourselves and partly because we need systems and humans need systems. That's where the Reiki symbols came from to begin with. You don't need a Reiki symbol to help work with energy, but it gets our minds off of our busyness, everyday stuff, and into a state of mind where we can actually tap into our innate intuitive and healing abilities. So that's what symbols are for. And there's an energy system out there, healing force or quantum touch or something like that. I don't know. Some of them are created to get credits for nursing school. And I've seen people go through it and they're really great. They're working well with energy, but oh my God, they make it so complicated and they get exhausted. So here's the thing. You can work with energy. It is sentient. But to work with anything, you need to start from ground zero, and ground zero is your connection to the planet, is your mindset. So if you believe it, the mindset that humans are in charge of the planet and everything we do is like we're the bosses, then you're never going to tap into your innate ability to work with energy, because it's bigger than us and it's not limited to human intelligence. So this mindset that I teach, I call planetary connection, and I teach it because I learned it from non-humans by simply being respectful, like introducing myself, saying, would you like to have a conversation? I would like to learn how you think and work. And that's how we create connections with the world around us. So if you realize that everything out there is alive, has a soul, has consciousness, has a job to do, free choice about doing that job or not, and opinions, that's your first step in creating a relationship with your own energy system and with energy around us that will help you become your best self and help those around you become their best selves and help the planet as well. We are all here as equal beings with other life to contribute to our conscious evolving planet, right? That's what we're here for. And we're here in our bodies because that's the choice we made to grow our souls. This time we may be something else. I've been animals many times in my life. It's whatever works for you, and you know, and you make the best of it once you're here. But if you don't choose a mindset that starts with everything is conscious and alive, then you're missing the point. And that's where all of our researchers and into consciousness are wrong. And I've tried to talk with some of them and they're like, oh, well, human consciousness is it. Well, if you think so, yeah. Okay, step number 3 or 4, whatever we're on here. Get rid of those ideas like quantum physics. Okay, it's a mass system, but it also is a system that says humans create the reality we live in, and that is completely bunk. It is not true. When they say that, you know, our observation of the atom made the atom move, you know, my experience with the atom is that the atom is finally going, hey, wow, finally, after all this time, I got them to pay attention to me. And it's just saying hello back at us. You know, if you look at the world from that aspect, then all of our scientific research has to back up and look at consciousness as a universal thing. And it's rooted in energy. And where does that take us? Learning to experiment and research from ground zero, where the ground zero idea is correct. Working with energy, as energy is sentient, requires us to do that which we came here to do, which is learn to love ourselves. The reason so many of our dead are stuck, well, there are lots of reasons. From religion to culture to violent death to whatever. But the biggest reason is that we don't love ourselves alive and we don't love ourselves dead. So we don't have the courage to take that next step forward, because the afterlife doesn't look like what we thought it was going to look like. We think we've condemned ourselves to the bad place, and that's as far as we get. So love yourself first. No ifs, ands, or buts. I like to tell you, when you get on a plane, put your own oxygen mask on first. We're here to grow our souls. Life isn't perfect. And if it were, we wouldn't even need to be here, right? Because we wouldn't be growing. We wouldn't be learning. Reject any mindset that limits your personal power. That includes religion, the patriarchy, whatever. It includes those horrible phrases, everything happens for a reason, which is ridiculous. as ridiculous as it's God's will, because it's not true. If everything happened for a reason, free will wouldn't be at play, and free will is absolutely at play. Take responsibility for your actions, whatever they are. Remember first and foremost that energy is sentient. That is crucial. It is apparently right now the first time in eons, maybe forever, since we founded this planet way, way back then, coming from different star systems, first time in our culture that we can recognize this. Don't look to indigenous shamanic people for direction, because they were manipulating energy too. Don't look to any energy system on the planet, from Reiki or to any other, where it teaches you to manipulate energy instead of working with it as a partner. Right? Partner with it. Invite it to partner with you. Ask if you can partner with it. That's when the work that you do with energy looks like a miracle. It looks like magic. Will energy cure cancer or help you find your soulmate? No, nothing will. Unless we actually go out and try to find those things for ourselves. So energy may make it easier for you to find the answers for yourself, but you still have to do the work, right? And starting with partnering with energy. So about the stuck dead. Some or all of our dead may be stuck for all kinds of religion reasons, including religion and culture, but mostly because they don't love themselves. I don't want to scare you because being stuck isn't necessarily a bad thing. It just means they have something to work out. There are the dead who have been stuck for eons. Some of them I've worked with since the beginning of the planet. They weren't human, and I worked with their planet, essentially. But don't worry about your dead being stuck, and never go to a medium, me or anyone else, because you're worried that your dead are stuck, because you can help them all by yourself. So whether they're stuck or not, when your dead, when your beloveds die, say, I love you, I miss you, I'm sorry, you're dead. Please, you know, slough off those denser energies when you can and move on to the afterlife, and we can connect more easily once you do that. So a lot of people hang on to their dead because they don't want them to be dead, and they want them to be all around you, and so on and so forth. But in the case of the grandpa, you know, who was bleeding and all messed up that I told you earlier in the show, he hadn't moved to the afterlife because he felt, well, he didn't want to leave everybody behind, or he thought that's all there was, or he wanted to watch out for him. They have all kinds of reasons for not taking the next step. But the reality is, if they're stuck, they're not in the afterlife, they're not moving on, you're not moving on, your grief isn't getting healed, and neither is theirs. So talk with them just as if they were right there with you, because they can hear you. Tell them you love them, forgive them for whatever transgressions you thought they committed, or that, and forgive yourself for whatever, for not being there when they died, for being impatient, for whatever it is. And love them. Just love them. And love yourself. You know, it's like, okay, I make mistakes. That's like part of life. We learn from them, we hope, at some point, and then we keep moving forward. Remember to tell your dead that they are dead, because sometimes they don't realize it. I've had dead that think they're still in a coma in a hospital. Tell them to go ahead, go to the afterlife when they're ready. Tell them there is no heaven or hell, there's no purgatory, there's no limbo, there's no bardo, there's no anything from all of those different religions. And as far as I can see, and including from the Asian way station managers like my dad, one of the most difficult mindsets is Asian philosophy, where they go down before they go up to the afterlife. Very confusing. There's a lot of angry dead people from that cultural and religious tradition, but plenty from our own here in Christianity or nothing. So I don't care what religion you were in when you were alive. When you're dead, what matters is that you and your soul are going to somewhere new, and you get another chance to do it again if you want, and you're always growing your soul, and you don't need religion to tell you that. So backing up again, energy is sentient. Invite it to partner with you. 2007, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, or so they thought. And I'd been working with this guy for a long time. The long and short of it was, I spent They wanted to do an evolved test before they did anything else. They knew that it was cancer. And I spent 2 days telling it, I am not food. You may not eat me. Thank you for the lesson. Time for you to go. And it was gone. Was that energy healing? Partly. It was also me realizing that when I invited other beings to help me in my work, I accidentally invited cancer. So for today, remember, energy is sentient. Partner with it intelligently, with love for it, with love for yourself. And amazing things will happen because you have that as a birthright, intuitive and healing skills, and energy is where it all starts. So I want to thank you for joining me today. Next month, I have a guest on the first Monday of October. We have a number of interesting topics for future shows. If I can help you with anything intuitive or healing, contact me through my website, robynfritz.com. That's RobynFritz.com. And tune in each Monday at 11 a.m. at Facebook Live at the Humanity Healing page. Thank you for joining me today. Remember, energy is sentient. Take care.